In my history, नमो विष्णु पुराण कृष्ण निष्ठा बोले श्रीमती भक्ति प्रधान स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चाचारिणी वंश कपरभ्युश्चा कृपा सिंधु बेबच पतितान पावने वैष्णवे भ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण In my history as a devotee, whenever, like after Srila Prabhupada had left, there, you know, like disappearance, Vyas Pooj days, I was always doing some service. So in my whole history as a devotee, I've never got up in front of an audience to give an offering or to, you know, to say something. It's just circumstances. I was always on Prabhupada's disappearance or appearance days, I was always asked to cook a feast. So I was always trying to hurry to cook so I can go in and say something about Srila Prabhupada. I never had gotten a chance to make offerings or, I mean, it's just the circumstances were so. But the memories of Srila Prabhupada remain, you know, so, you know, like Prabhupada was like, let's say, in the spiritual world, when Gop Kumara was bringing this Brahmana back to Godhead, he was sent by Srimati Radharani to come down to this earth and preach to this Brahmana. And when they went back to the spiritual world, it was, you know, they engaged in some pastimes with Krishna. And so they were all, the cowherd boys would all line up for lunch. And the cowherd boys were taking the best tasting piece of morsel of prasadam, and then they would see which thing on their plate was the best, and they would give Krishna, after them tasting, they would give Krishna a little piece of the best prasadam that they tasted. So Krishna would expand himself with all the different cowherd boys in order to enjoy that relationship of tasting the best morsel of prasadam from, you know, one of his friends. So similarly, after hearing from all the devotees speaking and hearing Ganivas and Panka, you know, everyone speaking, I feel a little more comfortable saying what was very important to me, that Prabhupada was a very mystical personality. I mean, he had this spiritual mysticism that, you know, that everyone was always wanting to see him, to see something extraordinary. You know, Prabhupada was very, he was not ordinary man. Prabhupada was very, very extraordinary. So I think now that Prabhupada was like that, that everyone that he related to was like he expanded himself. And then he was, even when he was giving a Srimad Bhagavatam class, I bet if you ask every devotee, what did Prabhupada say here? I bet every devotee would say that Prabhupada said a particular thing differently from the way I heard it, or the way the other person heard it. There was one example in Hawaii. Prabhupada was giving this lecture. I was there on the morning walk in the morning, and I was very excited that morning because I was looking out at the waves, and the waves were very big that morning, and you know, there were like a few surfers out, and Prabhupada was talking, I was walking, I was looking to the right and watching these waves, thinking, oh, I'm going to go surfing after the whole morning program because the waves are really, really big. Then Pushtakrishna Maharaj, he asked the question to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, those boys out there surfing, those surfers, are they going to take birth as fish? And Prabhupada goes, yes, they will take birth as fish. So I heard that. And then immediately, wow, I guess I have to give up surfing. Yeah. So we went there. We all got back to the temple and we were assembled for Srimad Bhagavatam lecture. And Prabhupada was speaking, and he said, and every devotee that I heard the story from said it differently. Like, you know, I heard it differently also. So I'm not trying to make the record straight saying that the way I heard it was the way it was, because I definitely believe that Prabhupada can say things and everybody will hear it differently, because everybody has an original relationship, you know, a unique relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So the way I heard it was Prabhupada, he goes, he's just like those boys out in the water, the surfers. And then they go, oh, Srila Prabhupada, it's surfers. And Prabhupada chuckled, he laughed. He goes, oh, I call them surfers. And he said, just like those boys in the water, the surfers, he says, if they spend their whole time surfing and not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then I felt great relief there, because he said, if they spend their whole time surfing and not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then, you know, I felt like, okay, now I can go surfing today. But Prabhupada said, if they spend their whole time surfing and not cultivate Krishna consciousness, he said, they will definitely take birth as fish. So that was, and every other devotee that I heard this say, I was right there. I mean, when Prabhupada said it, but every devotee that was right there, Hari Sari was there, Nishchintya Prabhu was there, and a few other devotees, and everyone that I heard that same story from had related it in a different way. So I was very fortunate in Hawaii. I never, like, you know, like Grihila Prabhu said, you know, Prabhupada was always surrounded by dandas and temple presidents and important devotees that were visiting from other parts of the country and the world, you know, translators and so many, you know, so much entourage. And so we were always trying to get in, you know, on a morning walk or try to see Srila Prabhupada. I remember one time, you know, as he was talking about effulgence, you know, we were waiting for Srila Prabhupada at the doorway of the airport, waiting for him to come out from customs. And just as I, you know, I was standing there, and all of a sudden this huge light just, you know, came, and it's like I had to turn and look and say, wow, what was that? And then from out of that light, you know, Srila Prabhupada came out with this smile and effulgence, you know, and it was like just all part of his personality walking through. I mean, incredible, glowing, powerful effulgence. And another time I had an experience with this effulgence. There's another story of Gopakumara when he was going up to the different planets on his way to the Vaikunthas. And he came upon the place where the impersonalist yogis merge into the Brahman. And when Gopakumara was there, he was, you know, he felt like he was being sucked in, you know, and he felt like he was starting to, like, merge and it's going to disappear, and he became very afraid of that place and wanted to leave. But the Lord, from behind that effulgence, like, appeared and, you know, smiled at him and, you know, and made him feel comfortable within this spiritual, you know, effulgence. And then he later went up and continued his journey into Vaikuntha. But I had a similar experience just like that. The temple president in Hawaii had just finished cooking Srila Prabhupada's lunch, and I was walking by. He goes, Srirat, take Prabhupada's lunch up, you know, to his room. And I said, okay. So I, you know, I'm going to get to see Srila Prabhupada all by himself in his room. So I took his lunch and I walked up, and as soon as I opened the door, I didn't know where I was. I mean, the whole room was filled with effulgence. I couldn't see anything. You know, I didn't know if it was like day or night or what. I'm just standing there in the doorway, just stunned by this immense effulgence and energy that was in that room. You know, and then as I stood there for, I don't know how long I was there. It seemed like it was like for a few minutes, but I'm sure it was just, you know, just a moment. But it was, I mean, you know, it was a very significant moment. And And then the effulgence cleared, and then Prabhupada was sitting there on his chair, smiling at me, you know, and I felt just complete awe and veneration for this powerful personality that was sitting on this cushion. So I went over and I brought him his lunch and I sat it on the table, you know, and I offered my obeisances, and I wanted to see him again, so I kind of looked up like, you know, like I was very, very, very much in awe and reverence. You know, there was no like friendship, or it was like totally serious. And who is this personality I'm looking at? You know, so I peeked up like that and looked at him, and he was standing there and he was taking something, and he was like very serious, and just all this energy was just pouring, you know, just flowing. And I was just, oh my God. So I just walked out of the room, and somebody else brought him up the seconds. I was, I guess the temple presidents could sense that I was just trembling, and it was like, it was very, it was not fearful experience, but it was a very, it was an experience of great, great veneration for a great personality. I mean, I was fortunate enough to get to see, you know. So just another instance, when I first sat in one of Prabhupada's first lectures, I had, you know, puffed up. You know, I was practicing a lot of yoga, a lot of pranayama, a lot of, yoga postures and so forth. And I read a lot of yoga books, and they were giving the science of Kundalini and, the soul in the lotus of the heart, you know. Then I read Prabhupada's books, and it said, the soul is in the heart, you know, it's in the heart. And so I asked, and also Prabhupada said, in the area of the heart. So Prabhupada, after he was done his lecture, this was on my mind, and I asked Srila Prabhupada, is the soul, maybe you've seen this tape, it's on tape, embarrassing. So anyway, Prabhupada said, I asked Srila Prabhupada, is the soul, is it in the heart? Is it in the area of the heart? Or is it in the lotus of the heart? And Prabhupada looked and goes, why do you want to know that for now? You're a medical man? I was like, he goes, don't you read my books? He goes, read my books. And then he said, in the heart, you know, in the heart. And so that was the end of that question. Later, all the devotees, Srila Prabhupada, he chastises you like that. I mean, I was in ecstasy. That was a great, it was a great experience for me to hear Prabhupada speak that way. And then the following day, I got initiated. This was, I believe, 1974, 73. We had a small house in Hawaii, in another place from where the temple is now. And so I was getting initiated, and, you know, first devotee went up. Your name is Gajahanta. Gajahanta means, you know, the killer of great elephants. And your name is so-and-so, you know, this. And then I hear the devotee in the back, Reuben. And so I go up. This lecture is also on tape, this initiation, and I tried to hear it many times, but I cannot remember too much of it, except, you know, here I'm from Hawaii, you know, in Hawaii people are always like 90% naked, you know, on the beaches, surfing, so forth, you know. So Prabhupada, as soon as I went to walk up to, you know, say that, before I could say the four principles, he said, so many lifetimes, hogs, dogs, camels, asses, we have tried to enjoy our senses, you know. And he gave a long lecture, and he said, just try to take this one lifetime and control your senses and go back home, back to Godhead, you know. So to me, it's like very, very significant for me, these experiences. So the next day I felt, Prabhupada was giving the lectures again, and then I felt like I was frustrated for some reason. Young devotee, new in the movement, you know, a lot of anger and frustration, and no love, you know, no consciousness, no love. And I'm sitting in a lecture, then I'm feeling very frustrated, so I get down, Prabhupada ki jai, you know, and, you know, just not being offensive, but it was like borderline, you know. And then I looked up, and then Prabhupada was looking at me, and he knew just what I needed. He had this look with affection just pouring from his face and his eyes, and just melted all of that frustration and you know, dejection and everything. And I just offered my obeisances, you know, and probably, you know, I couldn't understand the gratitude that I felt then. But now I when I think about it, I think how grateful I was for that merciful glance of Srila Prabhupada to be like gazing at me like that with to display that spiritual affection and understanding for my suffering condition. So it's pretty amazing. So Prabhupada would come to Hawaii every... It was nice in Hawaii because if Prabhupada was in L.A. or other places, you know, be surrounded. He was always surrounded by so many devotees. But in Hawaii, there wasn't that many people, so I got to see him many times. Another instance, you know, Hawaii was always up and down. It's like in the waves, and it's very rocky. Sometimes a lot of people fell overboard into the ocean of Maya there. And so anyway, I was living outside. I took a job as a security guard. I had one small room, and I was reading Prabhupada's books. And I lived next to a florist. And this florist used to have big boxes of carnations in a refrigerator. And I told one of the devotees, hey, I could get a big box of flowers for the temple when Prabhupada comes tomorrow. And the devotee said, yeah, do it, you know. So I said, okay. So that night I opened that guy's fridge, and here's his box of carnations, big box, you know, maybe like that big, that like that, full of carnations. And on my way to my security guard job, I picked up one needle and one thread, and I heard that you know, in the Vedic culture, it was proper to make garlands, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would wear garlands that would go down to his knees. You know. So I made one big, you know, putting the flowers sideways and making this big garland for Srila Prabhupada. And this, like, you know, it's like taking me part of the night, and I was cheating on my job also and making this garland. And the next morning, I had a whole bunch of flowers left over. So I brought them in, gave them to the pujari. And they decorated the altar. They decorated the deities. They decorated Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. There was enough flowers to throw all over the floor on the altar. So when Prabhupada came in, you know, from the morning walk, he came in. And I was rushing to get there, you know, and I, you know, made it on time for them to decorate everything. And so Prabhupada, he sat down and he was giving his lecture. And, well, before the lecture, everyone was putting garlands on Prabhupada. So I went up and I asked the temple president, can I go and put this on Prabhupada with my security guard uniform and all this? You know, he goes, oh, no, I don't think so. But I went anyway and I put the garland on Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada took my garland off. I went, oh. And then he took all the other garlands off. Then he put my garland back on. So that was very nice, you know. And then he gave the lecture. And then during the lecture, he said, if you neglect to worship the deities like this, so nicely decorated, he said, your heart will become black, you know. So he gave his talking. And then at the end of the lecture, he goes, even if you're a thief, if you take and you give to Krishna, he says, you will benefit. So I felt, jai Srila Prabhupada. So that was very nice. There was another time. You ever, you know, mental speculating? Prabhupada, you know, when Prabhupada gets very, very, if you're reading Prabhupada's books in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when they start attacking the impersonalism, the Shankarites, Shankaracharya's philosophy, purport after purport after purport of, you know, defeating this, you know, they're so wrong. They, you know, here's this evidence from this shastra, that shastra. How can they say that, you know, my Krishna hasn't, you know. So it gets very, you know, very heavy with, you know, mental speculators and personalists. So even amongst the devotees, if anybody was, you know, speculating, you know, get very... So there's these two devotees, Sarva Satya Prabhu and Kailash Chandra. They were making this artificial marble. And they were going to take samples up to Srila Prabhupada, and Govinda Dasi was there also. And they were going to present to Prabhupada this material for making deities. And, you know, it could make it out of artificial marble, be cost less, can mold it, and so forth. And so they needed some help taking these samples up. So immediately I said, I'll help you, you know. And I took up these samples to the room next to Srila Prabhupada. And then I stayed in a room waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come out. And Srila Prabhupada, he finally came out, and he was talking with Govinda Dasi, and she was saying, yes, Srila Prabhupada, we can make deities. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice. And he said, how will you ship? And he said, oh, well, we can ship it through, you know, airplane or, you know, boat or, you know, and he goes, will it break? And Govinda Dasi says, well, Prabhupada, I think, he goes, oh, I think means I don't know. And he walked out of the room. That was it. The end of that conversation. Anyway. So, that's about it for my personal memories of Srila Prabhupada. Although, you know, we have so many memories. You know, we have Vapu, our very dear and near and dear association with Srila Prabhupada, where we all had our various mystical and very extraordinary experiences. And then we have Prabhupada's Vani, which can carry us much further into the depths of the nectarian ocean of love of God that which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has overflooded into this place. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Next we'll hear from Kulik Shekhar, who first met Prabhupada in 1968 in Montreal, Canada. And he's French-Canadian and lives in Western Canada currently.